We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and tonight we're going to discuss perspective. I want us for a minute to think of Yaakov Avinu as though we were Yaakov Avinu. Can we for a minute go out of our own shell and put ourselves as a Yaakov Avinu? Let's imagine for a minute that we worked for 7 years in order to marry a beautiful girl called Rachel, who we really love. And then we wake up the morning after the wedding and, who are you? Oh, I know who you are, but what are you doing here? Wait a second. I'm married to you? Now let's put ourselves in those shoes. So you go into Lavan and you say, we agreed on Rachel and I worked for Rachel. Why'd you trick me? And then Lavan gives you an answer. No, there's the custom of the place. You didn't mean to go against the laws of the town. No, you'll have Rachel. You finish your 7 days celebrating with my Leah, and then you'll get Rachel for another 7 years' work. You come back home, you have to celebrate with Leah for 7 days. How do you do that? What are you celebrating? 7 days of celebration. And then you have another wedding. Da, la, 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 la. Wonderful. You marry Rachel. And then Leah tells you, honey, I'm pregnant. And you know you didn't touch her. You weren't intimate since that first night. So you realize God is telling you, you're supposed to be married to Leah. How do you deal? You are now married to someone and you just discovered, you didn't even want to marry this person. So this is the epitome of mekach ta'ut. This is not what I meant to buy, right? People say, I'm married to this woman and it's not who I thought she was. This isn't fair. Let's, for a minute, put ourselves in Yaakov Avinu's shoes. This is really not the woman he meant to marry. No surprises in her personality. I knew who she was, and I didn't want to marry her. Now what? And he sees it's the hand of heaven. So now let's see the next step. Yaakov Avinu has no choice but to recognize that Lavan was the facilitator for something Hashem wanted to happen. Chazal tell us that it was Leah's tefillot that were accepted. How do you deal with that? Hashem wants me married to her, but I never asked for this. I don't want to be married to her. How do you build a family with someone? Have more kids with someone? Smile to them? Have a Shabbos meal with them? I didn't want to marry you. You're a wonderful person. Go marry Esav. What do I have to do with this? I'm not saying I have to marry every wonderful person on the planet. And I was tricked into it. Let's pause this story for a minute and shift for a minute, okay? We don't have time for questions now. Thursday. Thursday. I'm not going to be able to finish even so. Imagine you have a sibling and you're annoyed at the sibling. They really ticked you off. You just got a very expensive gift, or you just bought a very expensive cell phone, and your sibling was nasty and they grabbed it from you because they want to see it, and you said, leave it alone. And they said, no, I just want to see it. And they grabbed it and then it flew out of their hands and broke. So you just spent the last half a year working for that cell phone. and all those hours of work, it's now bashed. And now not only is it bashed, but what are you going to do? You're 16 and your younger brother's 11, and there's no way that 11-year-old is going to be able to pay you back for it. You're pretty upset. So he comes and he sits next to you. And you say, "Charles, you have bad breath." And he says, "No, I just brushed my teeth." And you go, "Well, then I guess the toothpaste you used has bad breath." And Charles says, "Look, I'm really sorry." You go, "Okay, continue what you're doing." And Charles sits there doing this. You go, "Charles, you're annoying me." And he goes, "What did I do?" "You're tapping on the table." "Okay, I won't tap on the table." "Charles, you're annoying me." "What did I do?" "Charles, you're scratching." "I can't scratch?" "No, you're annoying me." What's happened here? When we're annoyed at someone, then there's nothing they can do right. And everything they do will annoy us. And it could be they mean well. He'll come and bring me a cup of coffee, and as he brings it, it'll splash a little bit. And I'll say, "Great, so now when I drink it, it'll drip all over my shirt. Keep your coffee." "Wait a second, I was trying to be nice to you." "Keep your niceties, I don't want it." Right? When we get annoyed, so then there's nothing the person can do right. And it's not only there's nothing they can do right, they are really annoying us when they do stuff. But you know what? It goes the other way too. When you will be crazy over your kala, and you will be so happy that she finally agreed to marry you, then everything she does will be right. And it doesn't matter what. She'll have a long nose. You'll say, "Wow, I always wanted a kala with a long nose." She'll have a short nose. You'll say, "What a cute nose she has." She'll wear pink. You'll say, "How feminine." She'll wear blue. You'll say, "How filled with life." It doesn't matter what she'll do. You'll see it through the prism of, you like this person. So what they do is right in your eyes. Now let's put all the pieces of the puzzle together. We think that we are affected by what goes on around us. We think that it's a question, is she a good wife, is she a bad wife, is she nice, is she not nice? Do we have good chemistry, don't we have good chemistry? Here's the secret to making it work. Put on the right glasses. If you wake up and say, "I'm lucky to have her." If you wake up and say, "Ribbono Shel Olam wanted me married to her. Ribbono Shel Olam put me in this ship together with her. This is what's right for me." If you're willing to develop a positive outlook to the person, to see what's good in them, then things will annoy you less. And suddenly you'll be happy with her. There is no person on the planet that doesn't do 20 to 30 annoying things every hour they're together with their spouse. 20 to 30 annoying things every hour they're together. So you sit for a Shabbos meal, there will be at least 20 or 30 annoying things that she does. You'll try to say Dvar Torah, she's going to switch the topic. You're not going to say the Dvar Torah and she won't ask you about it. Then as you're trying to eat the chulin, she'll ask you about it and you'll want to eat the chul not. You'll be like, "Later." And she'll say, no, you were in the middle of an interesting Dvar Torah. And you'll be thinking, if you really wanted to hear, why'd you take it all off topic? Right? So there are going to be 20 to 30 annoying things that happen every time you guys spend an hour together. And it could be on a date. You're going on the date and she doesn't notice that she walks you off the sidewalk. Suddenly you're in the street, you're like, "Honey, you know there are cars here," and she's like, "Yeah, why are you on the street?" And you're thinking, "Well, you kept walking in a diagonal, it sort of pushed me off the street." But she didn't notice. There can be a million things, but they're nothing. They are really nothing if you're willing to look positively. And it starts with perspective. How do I look at this person? And here's a simple example. He's not here. I was hoping he'd be here. We had a guest this past Shabbos, and he witnessed one of the most beautiful spectacles. We have a 2-year-old that is more of a handful than all the 2-year-olds that preceded him, any 2-year-old I ever saw in my life. This kid kid is Baruch Hashem a bundle of energy like I never saw before. So he witnessed how the kid runs to the kitchen and turns on the gas in the middle of Shabbos. So we run after him to turn off the gas. So as we're turning off the gas on Shabbos, he runs back and climbs up to the candles and tries to throw down the lit candles. So we run after him to take him off the candle lighting. I finish taking off the candle lighting. I pick him up, tug him, and kiss him. And I say, "Oh, you're so sweet." So he grabs my beard and starts tugging at it. There, I couldn't have a second with him that I wasn't running after him. There wasn't a second that the kid wasn't wrecking havoc. Okay, so what is it? The kid is filled with energy and he's interested in exploring things. And he saw he couldn't reach the light switches. It's Shabbos. So he went and started stacking chairs so he could climb the chairs to turn on and off the lights. We've had other kids before. He takes the cake. Never. I mean, we put on special locks on the door. He figured out how to open them. We had to install a special gate around our house because he would run out to the street when he was 1 year old. He'd figure out how to get through every door and get out to the street. Now, that's dangerous. One morning at 6:30, I asked the kids, "Who went out at 6:30 in the morning?" They say, "No one." I say, "The door didn't open on its own." And they say, no. "One of us just went out to get something that was on drying rack." Next thing I know, he's out in the street. He opened the door, figured out how to open all the locks. So we, Baruch Hashem, he's a handful. But you know what? He's destroyed every pair of glasses I own. He's destroyed, I don't know how many MP3 players, how many computers, laptops, keyboards. Do I love him any less for it? Is there one iota of anger at the kid? Zero. I'm not saying it's fun to wake up in the morning and see him take my glasses and do this. That's not fun. But you look at him and you say, okay, and you love him. And you say, "It was so much energy, he better do a lot for Am Yisrael. He better be a giant with all his energy. He better channel it right." How come? But he's doing the most annoying things in the world. He's pulling at my beard. He's throwing my yarmulke into the soup. He's climbing on the table. We can't set the table until there are guards on the table. Because he climbs up and thinks it's funny to toss all the plates off the table. Okay. Do you love him less? No. Are you like, I'm ready to kill you? No, you don't say such a thing. You don't even think such a thing. You don't feel such a thing. Because when you really love someone, then even when they do the most annoying thing, you say, okay. And what happens when your wife crashes your brand new car? You just got a car from the job, and now she... I'm sorry, I got confused between reverse and forward. What can I do? So what do? You say, "You nincompoop. How'd you get confused? Why'd you hit the gas so hard?" No, you don't. And it all starts with perspective. Yaakov Avinu can be married to Leah, and it's a phenomenal lesson for each and every one of us. When people get married, they say, "But she's not the person I thought she would be." Everyone says that. No such thing as getting married and you meet the person 10 years later and you say, "Did you get what you thought you were getting?" Don't ask the question. No one does. We all have surprises. She doesn't get who she thinks she's getting. You don't get who you think you're getting. There are always surprises. But it doesn't get worse than Yaakov Avinu and Leah. And yet Yaakov had more children, and half of the people of Israel come from that marriage, and they built a marriage that worked. How do you do that? You do that with one saying, "Hashem wants this. This is what's right." And number two, deciding. Love is a decision. We think that love is impacted upon me. All the love songs you hear tell you that. It's not true. Real love is a decision. I decide I'm going to care for this person, I'm going to invest in this person, and I'm going to see the positive in the person. And if you can say it, if you can say the positive, what happens? Today more and more scientists have come to the conclusion that our capacity to be productive and happy stem from the words that we reiterate to ourselves. It's not dependent as much on external factors. People have a tendency to constantly say one or another line of thought. Some people will always say, "You see it's bad, you see you're not worth anything, you see you messed up." They constantly tell themselves negative thoughts, and other people are trying to tell themselves positive thoughts. it's not only about ourselves. If we can say, oh, that was great. If we can see what's good in ourselves, well, we also have to see it in others. And if we can keep reminding ourselves positive things, can we say positive things to and about someone else? It's so nice to see this person. It's so nice that they prepared me lunch. It's so nice that they laundered my clothing. The more we force ourselves to verbalize it, the more we'll internalize it. The more we internalize it, the more we will have Hakarat HaTov. Through our Hakarat HaTov, as we recognize, we'll start recognizing I lucked out. It's a perspective. If you keep thinking I'm lucky to be married to this person, eventually you'll see it. You'll see why you are. If you allow the other approach to take hold, which is, by the way, the natural approach that takes hold, the natural evolvement of marriage is to misery. Did you guys hear that? The natural evolvement of a marriage is to misery. Because at the end of the day, what naturally happens in marriage is we are different. And we do things that annoy one another. And we do things that are not considerate enough of one another. As much as we try to be considerate, we don't get it right. We make mistakes. So in order for it to work, we have to be willing to work at it. We have to be willing to choose to see the positive. We have the lesson of Yaakov Avinu. He built half the people of Israel through the woman who he did not want to marry. That means he was able to make the marriage work. So much so that at the end, Leah can say to Rachel, why are you taking my husband? She felt like Rachel was taking her husband. How could she say such a sentence? It teaches us how much Yaakov was able to make her feel loved. The Torah keeps reiterating that she didn't feel loved enough. But at the end of the day, she didn't feel it from Yaakov. She comes to Rachel and says, you're taking my husband. From Yaakov, he kept trying to give her the feeling. He tried. As I'll say, the wording of Leah, I am hated, is not to be taken literally, the Radak says. It means she felt that Rachel was more loved than her. That at the end of the day seeped through. She did sense that. And for a woman, that means she feels hated. A woman has to feel like she's number one. She feels, you love me, but you love your mother more. Now I'm hated. But I don't hate you. I love you. I just love my mother more. I can't live with that. A woman can't live with feeling like she's second. She has to feel number one. What did we learn today? We learned about Yaakov and Leah. We learned about the choice we make. We learned that even a kid that makes a lot of trouble, his parents will naturally love him. We can choose to love. Love is not something that happens. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice of perspective. When we choose to see, to love, to like, to connect, then we will view everything that happens in a more positive light. We will choose to focus on the positive. That's how we build a relationship. We said that if we do not make this choice, if we do not make conscious moves to speak, to verbalize, to recognize the positive, the natural evolvement is to notice the negative, to be annoyed, and marriages will self-destruct. It's not surprising that most marriages end in failure today. But what we're doing here is we're trying to learn how to make it a success. Well, we have to make the choice. I choose to love. I choose to see the positive. I choose to speak about the positive. Laila tov.